Welcome to Toffee Blue View, your source for all things Everton. I am Jerry, and with me today, Max and Terry. Terry's back from his vacation to Antarctica. That's what happened. No, he was at special screenings of Avengers Endgame. That's where he was. He's good friends with Scarlett Johansson. You know, he doesn't like to publicize it. It's just who he is, you know. So I brought it up to these gents. I was like, you know, because you know, Toffee Blues John had said, why don't we start talking about Endgame a little bit? Terry would love it. And I was like, yeah, I can't think of anything else to talk about. And then Max was like, what about the Manchester Derby? And I'm just like, well, shit. Yeah, I watched that too. Yeah. That's more football related.
Two things going on, man. PFA team of the year, Wolves. Being exceptionally good,
It
was an interesting night.
It's a weird little stretch. It's a weird part of the season where we actually have a little bit to play for, you know. It's ish. You know what I mean? It's like we have a little bit to play for, so I'm pulling against, you know, Wolves and Leicester and Watford and the teams we were competing with for seven. But at the same time, they're playing against some of these teams that I want to lose, you know. So I'm sort of, yeah, it's a strange time right now, frankly. But just throwing it out there, City, they did take care of things yesterday. That did happen. So knowing nods, that's what I'll say. We're all nodding, and that's all we're going to go. That's all we're going to say. That's it. and none of us have seen Avengers Endgame yet. We're not the perfect Marvel fanboys that maybe we ought to be. But I will say, if anyone is close to that, it's probably Terry. Terry's the closest of knowing what's in that universe. I will say, Terry, you were talking about that shot from Iron Man 2 is it Shoot to Thrill by AC/DC? I watched Iron Man 2 the other day with my son, and we decided we're going to put that on his little pump-up mix. That scene started, I was like, yes, Terry! Yes! I didn't remember this! This is so awesome!
What you don't realize, Jerry, is the second you said the word Endgame at the start of the podcast, a lot of people switched off in fear of spoilers, in case we've seen it.
No.
I know every time I've seen the word Endgame on social media since yesterday afternoon, I've just immediately switched away. I'm on a social media blackout for a couple of days now until I see it, because people can't help themselves. I don't even want to know if people think it was good. I know I think it will be good. I don't want to hear. I don't even want to know that you've seen it. I want to pretend I'm the only one in the world who's going to see it. I am ridiculous levels for avoiding spoilers. I will go to the cinema with headphones in the lobby to make sure nobody spoils it on me. So I will go and I'll take the headphones out when I get to my seat, and then that's it. I don't want any spoilers. Get that away from me.
So everyone, if you happen to approach Terry for the hug that I've promised you, and you happen to see him out and he's wearing headphones, just don't talk about anything Marvel. You know what I mean? Just nothing, none of that, you know? The crazy thing is, like, I've read the books, the Infinity War books, so I know what happens and all that stuff. So nothing's going to spoil it for me. I read a cool review the other day, and it wasn't what I was expecting. So that's what I'll say. Hey, that's not a spoiler at all. I didn't say if it was even a bad or a good review. Hey. So that's a thing that's happening. Max absolutely hates pop culture, so he's not worried about it.
I finally seen Dumbo.
Oh, yes. Yes. How was it, Max?
Finally got it off the bucket list. Nah, the Tim Burton one.
Yeah. How was it? Did you were you pleasantly surprised, or were you kind of like, I wish I was younger?
No, it was good. I quite enjoyed it, to be fair. I quite like his filmmaking trope. Is it like the kind of, just the dark undertones of it? It's pretty cool.
The guy's got a hell of a production design eye. You know what I mean? It's always just gorgeously, just like frames that you could take a still frame and put it on a wall.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's always the use of shadow. Ah, man, it's just, it's pretty and like this. If you're one of those people who has that, the dark side and likes the kind of the darkness, you know, man, that's sure. Burton's one of your guys.
Seeing Danny cool. DeVito as a kind of tyrannical boss is also a bonus. I think he plays them roles particularly well.
Tim Burton's like style is like so iconic that it invented a type of teenager, didn't it? It's sort of, you get like emos, goths, Tim Burton emos, like just like the kids who wear like the Jack Skellington like stripy pants and stuff like that. Tim Burton fan is a type of teenager. Like that's how lasting his impact has been.
It's very Edward Scissorhands, you know, inspired. That's that's great. I got a buddy of mine from film school, and his favorite director all throughout film school was Burton, and we just constantly gave him shit about it just because it was his favorite, and we were at film school, and we're like all the nerds with the nose in the air, and Burton's, you know, popular, and he's in regular theaters, and, you know, the guy stuck with it. Props to him. He stuck with it. You know what I mean? I will say I've always been a Big Fish fan. You know, that Big Fish, I think my least favorite part is Ewan McGregor's Southern accent in it. Just because I'm from the South. And it would be, I don't know, I think you guys would have a similar excuse if my stupid ass was sitting there trying to do a Scouse accent.
Honestly, Southern accents to majority of British people, I think, are Big Daddy from Django Unchained. Yeah, the real... I'm pretty.
And that one's iffy for me too. That one's iffy for me too. That's funny.
Yeah. What is that? Texas, Tennessee. It's super like.
It's stereotype. That's what it is, Terry. Yeah. It is cliche as hell. That's what it is. Being one of the guys who likes to fight those Southern American cliches, I see that and I'm like, oh. But then I'm like, it's Tarantino. It's fine. It'll be okay. But anyway, see, I like how this introduction has just been an absolute hodgepodge of everything. It's just, we've literally just thrown like five things together and said, we're going to make it work. It's an intro casserole, you know, intro pudding. Here it is. All right. So that's it. Then let's move on to actually talk about Everton Football Club for the people who are out there listening with their ears. Podcasters, the show's going to go like this. We're going to start with a Palace preview, a match preview, because that happens this weekend on Saturday, methinks. Then we're going to talk about an article came out, a report from the Liverpool Echo, talking about a big summer overhaul. I've got a lot of notes on that particular article because it's pretty damn interesting if it's legit. So we're going to talk about that. Is a summer overhaul in the cards? What the hell's going on with that? And then we're going to finish just like we always do. Quiz between Terry and Max. Max is full strength today, as opposed to last time when he was hungover. But he's here all the way, Terry. So, but just so you know, guys, this one's hard as hell. All right, John actually said he was being a proper bastard with this one. I just want to say, Quizmaster John says this. I would get very few of these because I'm fledgling. You guys may be fine. It's hard. That's what I'm gonna say. All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. John knew it. So, gentlemen, Palace match preview. It's away. It's not at Goodison. All right. So automatically, we have to just assume the worst, eh? Right now they're 12th in the table with 42 points, so essentially safe. You know what I mean? They are at that point. They've hit that threshold. They're 12, 6, and 17 for the season. Their previous three, they just beat Arsenal 3-2, lost to City 3-1, and they beat Newcastle 1-0. I mean, they're not playing poorly right now. For a team that's sort of okay save-wise, who knows, now that they've pushed past 40 points, maybe they'll chill a bit, but, you know, they got some talent on their team. Possible starters, Vicente Guaita, See if I got that right. I like that, my Spanish accent. Juan Bisaca, Scott Dan, Martin Kelly. Could be either Van Aanholt or Ward playing outside back there. James MacArthur, Milivojevic, who I'm so happy to be able to say his name and not butcher it the way I used to. Milivojevic, Kouyaté, Meyer, Benteke, and Zaha. So, I'm starting with Max this time because, like I said, Terry, you're a regular, so you don't get the guest treatment anymore. Max, is there anybody you're worried about on this Palace squad, other like in particular, where you're like, holy hell, besides Zaha? Because let's be honest, that's a potent player.
Yeah, you know. And to be honest, I wanted to bring the point up because I think it quite a common discussion. Like I see, you know, certain accounts tweet out like who do you think the best player outside the top six is, and the most like the overwhelming responses tend to be either Zaha or Sigurdsson. So I feel like that's quite I think that's going to be an interesting battle, I suppose, to keep an eye on. Just I had a little look at the appearances, goals and assists. Zaha's got 31 appearances this season, 9 goals, 8 assists. Gylfi's got 38, 14 goals, 6 assists. That's in all competitions. Although Gylfi's 29, Zaha's 26. Like, they are two exceptionally talented players. And, you know, I think that's where Zaha's home is, isn't it, really? Crystal Palace. I think he left far too early and kind of felt that. And he's come back, and I think they've almost kind of formed a team that plays to his strength in that accommodating him, you know, not too, because he plays as a striker, if I'm not mistaken, you know, he gets thrown up there with the likes of Benteke, Andros Townsend, which tends to work pretty well for him. But I don't know, I rate Crystal Palace as a team. I think they're a really hard opposition to come up against, particularly for Everton. They seem to play at Selhurst Park. They play a low block that's really hard for us to find space in and around. I was having a little look at the head-to-heads, and we were last beaten by them in September 2014. So in the last 8, we've done pretty decent, but that's been 4 draws. So as I said, they are still a pretty solid team to try and work around. But in answer to your question, Jerry, I don't know, in terms of the players, I was a big fan of Max Meyer when he was at Schalke, and I'm glad that he'd come over to the Premier League. Maybe not lit it up per se. I mean, probably because he's at Crystal Palace and they tend to, you know, they've got a history of relegations and needing to fluctuate between the bottom half of the table and relegation side. So, I don't know, who knows? Maybe if he started developing his performances over the next season or so, he might find himself at a more stable club to showcase his skills a bit more. But, yeah, I feel like they're a solid team and they're not going to be an easy walk in the park by any means.
Yeah, I know previously when we've played them, I was concerned about Bisaca and Van Aanholt and having that speed coming up the wings because I was concerned about our outside backs. I am not as much anymore, you know, with the form of Luka Dean and Coleman. That's not something I'm sweating as much this time. I still think those are good players. But yeah, it's not something where I pinpoint it and say that's a problem area for us because I don't see it as being a problem area anymore. Terry, with this particular squad, we've had some strange fluctuation in terms of playing versus big, you know, the big six sides, the top six sides, and player and teams below us in the table. We seem to have a little bit more joy playing against the teams that kind of go at us a little bit more. Is this going to be a case? Do you think they're going to come at us because they're at home and they're, you know, I think they tend to love playing at home. Their crowd's usually really strong. Or do you think they'll sit back and try to counter and it might give us some trouble or what?
Not really sure. They've got an amazing home support, but they've not been very good at home this season. They've actually been better on the road than they have at Selhurst Park. They're a weird one, Crystal Palace, because I don't understand why they aren't in. With the team they've got, why they're not in that block of teams that we're in. With, you know, at the minute, it's sort of moved into us, Wolves, Watford and Leicester. But also throughout the season, you can say West Ham and Bournemouth as well.
West Ham.
I don't know why Palace aren't aren't in that block, like it's sort of even above the likes of Bournemouth, because some of the players they've got are absolutely great. Like on paper, like their fullbacks are strong. They've got a good partnership at the back. I mean, I'm going to come on to this in a second, but Tompkins and Sacco are their usual centre-back partnership. I think they're out.
I think they're both out.
That might affect the way they play. It might knock their confidence a little bit. They might not want to come high up the pitch because they haven't got their first choice centre-back partners, and Scott Dan isn't the quickest anymore. But I don't know. I mean, Zaha, they've got Batshuayi on loan. Max Meyer, obviously, he's new to the league and he's settling a little bit. I was a big fan of him as well at Schalke, Max. I was actually gutted we didn't get him last summer when he was going for free, but we got, of the two, you know, higher profile free transfers, I'm happy with the one we got in Bernard's. But I'm actually, one of the biggest battles on the pitch for me for this game will be Bernard versus Wan-Bissaka, because earlier in the season, in the Goodison game, Bernard was quite early into his Everton career. You know, he was still coming up to speed with the league, and he couldn't get out of Wan-Bissaka's pocket all game. He was an absolute beast, and this was when Wan-Bissaka was doing this to everyone every week, and he still is, you know, arguably. But now I'm really looking forward to seeing this sort of settled and more confident and more up to speed Bernard versus him, because I think Wan-Bissaka is a top player, and it's a shame that it works like this, but he's probably going to leave in a short amount of time, because the top teams could really do with him, or any of them, he would go into most of their teams. I'm really looking forward to seeing how Bernard and Wan-Bissaka get on as a battle, because Bernard in the last few weeks has been one of our best players, and I think he will give a much better showing for himself than he did in the previous game.
You just mentioned something, and I have to say it. You mentioned being in Wan-Bissaka's pocket. Can we kind of stop the memes where people say when they go home and empty their pockets and it's got the player in the pocket? Can we stop that one? Like, I got it. You know, let's figure out another thing to say they were really good defending. There's got to be another way.
I've seen quite a funny one after the derby, though. I know it plays on stereotype and the like, but Luca Dean after the Merseyside derby, like khakis, Mo Salah and a baguette. Like, I don't know why you don't like them, you know. I think they're quite funny.
Okay, that's funny because it's playing a little differently. The baguette is funny, okay? Because that's just being kind of goofy. But it's like, I don't know, I almost want to do like the anti one where they take out the stuff of their keys and it's literally the stuff they would normally have in their pocket. Just because I want to turn it on its head. I'm just sick of seeing it. Come on, let's figure out something else. Let's do a new thing. But the baguette thing is funny, Max. You're right. Okay. I would have giggled at that like a friggin' idiot. I would have.
One did it as well with Zuma and Lukaku at the weekend. You know, the keys, phone, Lukaku, baguette, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I you mentioned Zuma, and that totally reminded me. Chico Azul's been doing those like cringy nicknames, and I gotta be honest, like I want to use them ironically, like so bad, but I'm scared people will think because I'm American I'm using them like as my nickname. But he said for Kurt Zuma he called him Kurt Locker, and that's just I couldn't help it. It was just, I fucking thought that was great. I was like, that's so cringy, and it's awesome. That's hilarious. So, yeah, I don't know. Not like he's watching this or anything, but, yeah, Azul is some of the best comedy writing, actually, that I've seen. It's really good comedy writing.
His best joke of the whole season for me was actually against Crystal Palace, but in the previous game, he said that James Tompkins has got the kind of face that if he walked onto the stage in the middle of a play, you'd immediately know that he was the bad guy. And if you look at James Tompkins, you'd go, yeah, you would.
Yeah.
It's just legitimately well-written comedy. So, yeah, just saying. A few things about our squad going into this one, not to shift gears away from Chico, because I could probably talk about that for a while. Gomez is still out. That's a thing. It hurts, but not as bad as we thought it would hurt, because Schneiderlin has come in, and Max is over to just sit there going, yeah, he has, hasn't he? So that's a thing. Richarlison's a doubt. That's something we found out from the press conference, from Silva's press conference. And Walcott has a bit of an illness. I think there's still a chance that he'll start. We know if he was perfectly healthy, he'd probably start, and everybody would be groaning, like, why when we have Lookman?
The stars are aligning. Finally, we might actually see Lookman get a start.
Maybe.
Caused a big difference in the reserve fixture. So it'd be great to see him get a run out.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see exactly what happens with that. But we should probably drop some predictions now, gents. I'm maybe not as confident as I wanted to be, but let's see what you guys say. Terry.
2-1 Everton.
2-1 Everton. Max is going to say the same thing, right?
Yeah, probably. I was debating whether we'll score 2 or 3, but I don't know. As I said, the low block, and we usually struggle. So I'll go for 2-1.
Okay, now I feel like the asshole in the bar. Okay, I'm just saying. Am I the guy? Yeah. Because it's away. It's away, and I'm going to say 1-1 draw. I'm still kind of nervous after Fulham. Mm. Just saying.
Yeah.
All right? I want us to prove it away from home. I want to see that same energy. So, yeah, somehow wrapping that up. Yeah, need that. Guys, anything else on this match preview, this Palace match preview? Have we covered most things? Anything else as far as our squad that we need to cover? One of the things I wanted to mention is there's a possibility if we have most of the possession in this one, it doesn't allow us to utilize our press as much, which doesn't create as much kind of turmoil and confusion with the opposition. So I'll be curious, like, whenever we do give up possession, how that's going to work. That's my only thing, though. That's my only big concern when we play these squads that are potentially going to sit back a little bit. Mm. That's my main one. So we'll see how it goes. So I guess that's it for our Crystal Palace match preview. So gentlemen, story came out today being Thursday. So obviously this will come out on Friday. So bear that in mind. It was in the Liverpool Echo about a summer overhaul for the Everton squad. The Echo's, I think, Terry, you said it's Kirkbride that put it out. So usually pretty reliable source. I think Everton tend to feed him information often. But the Echo understands that the Blues are planning to work with a squad of 20 outfield players, 3 goalkeepers, and a handful of youngsters. And by the way, some of these are direct quotes from the piece. So I just want to go ahead and say these are their words, and we're just going to be talking about it. Possibly almost two teams worth of players would either be sold or loaned or released this summer. And Europa League qualification could result in the planned squad being expanded, but in that case, the preference would be to promote some of the title-winning U23 players. Additionally, the article goes on to talk about how we want to wrap up permanent deals for Gomez and Zuma, a right back, a right wing, and someone up front. And it seems like those are target areas for us. And then they list a lot of players who could be on their way out, we're not sure where they stand. Players like Vlahovic, who I had heard that maybe he's in our plans for next season, but he really doesn't want to come back, is what it sounds like.
That was where the offices that he's set on going, so maybe we're preparing for offloading them, which is unfortunate, I think. But.
Yeah. And Onyekuru, who I know we're going to be trying to get. We think we're a lot more confident about the work permit this time around, I believe. But is he in the plans regardless? Mm-hmm. Hard to say, you know, because I know we could make something on him if we sold him, you know, more than what we bought him for sure. You know, and then there's a lot of players. There's some players, you know, that are on their way out, you know, if we can sell them, like Morales, Nias, Luke Garbutt, Shani Tereshaj, remember
Williams.
Him. Ashley Williams, who I think is finishing up his contract, he's going to leave for free probably. I believe that's what's going on. Jags and Baines, what's going on with them? I think McCarthy's probably going to push for a move, is what it seems like. And then there's a lot of U23 players or players that have been playing or that have been on loan. What are we going to do with Beningame? What are we going to do with Kieran Dowell, Connolly, Pennington? Mason Holgate, I think it says in the article, is probably coming back. We're going to listen to offers for Besic. That's all my information. All right, so guys, let's have a big discussion. We're going to start with Terry because last time we started with Max, and we don't want Terry to think we don't have any more love. So, Terry, how does all this strike you? It would be a lot of turnover in the locker room.
I think if they could pull it off in that exact way, it'd be ideal. Like, you want, managers prefer smaller squads in that regard because they get to work with them a lot closer. It's going to be difficult to get rid of that many players. It never works like that. It's not football.
Yeah, no way.
Not FIFA. Like, there's a lot of players who are on decent salaries and aren't very good. And, you know, the clubs that they would improve can't afford to pay them. I think we're going to have to subsidise some wages for some players to get rid of them. Some of them are straightforward, like Ashley Williams. He'll be out of contract. He won't be renewed. I wouldn't be surprised if his locker was cleared out even last summer when he went on loan. That was probably always the plan.
I didn't mention Bolasie, by the way, who supposedly is not in Gomez. I'm saying it like he's the manager. Silva's plans. Sorry, Terry.
It depends really on which player is. I mean, if that is true about 20 players being up for leaving, I think at least one, if not both, of Jagielka and Baines will be not retained. Be a shame, especially for Baines from my own point of view, because he's one of my favourites ever Everton players. But yeah, I think too. Marcel Brands and Marco Silva and Farhad Moshiri, I think they want to, you know, kick on with a new vision for the club, sort of build around youth and long term. They want to build a young squad that develops just as we're going into the new stadium. That's the long term plan, I imagine. Some of them will be harder to get rid of than others. Like, I think, you know, you release some players. I think the likes of Garbutt, the likes of McCarthy, the players who are going to have 1 year left on their deal, possibly Nias, things like that as well. I'm not sure on that one. They might just...
I think he's coming to the end of his contract.
Yeah,
I think
like they'll have 1 year next year. Anyone like that, Morales as well, I think they will either be sold for a nominal fee, or they'll go out on loan for a loan fee, and then just like Williams this year, won't be retained when they come back, and we'll just get, if not all of their wages, a portion of the wages off the books. The ones we'll struggle to sell are the ones we want money for, basically. Sandro Ramirez, I really, you know, I'll be very surprised if anyone comes in and buys him, even for a low price, because unless he decides to surprise us and drop his wages, which I can't see any player doing anywhere. But, yeah, I mean, it's a lot of players to get rid of. It wouldn't really impact the team, I think I can name. I won't do it because, you know, people will switch off. But I could name 20 players on professional senior contracts at the club in various places. Like, they'll be on loan, some of them are in the squad, without even touching the first team squad of 18 players, maybe one or two, like a Schneiderlin or a Tosin, who do play but aren't, you know, key players. Who the six are who come in, I think even if they bring in six new players, I think the starting 11 from the last few games, if everything comes off and we wave a magic wand, it's still going to be the same. I think these six players won't all just go in like... some people would want them to. I think Coleman still starts at right back next season. I think for the start of next season, I think Calvert-Lewin still starts up front. And then over the time, they slowly get introduced and hopefully they can gel. We've seen names linked with in positions that have been mentioned in this article, like Rafael Leao, is that how you say it? The Lille striker. David Neres, Ajax for right wing. I think they said as well, centre fielder as well. We were linked with Lucas Tosart for at Lyon to replace
Oh yeah, that's a great point.
I mean, in a perfect world, that had all come off, and then you just next season build on that. 20 outfield players, young kids like Ben Gibson, Lewis Gibson. I keep doing that. Lewis Gibson, Josh Bowler, players like that come in and see, you know, Robinson, who's come back from loan, Holgate, see how they do in the squad. But yeah, you know, ideally, I think it's brilliant. It's just, can you pull off that many ins and outs? It's not easy to sell players.
Yeah, especially somebody like a Cuco Martina, you know, players like that who have a contract with us. I think we're going to have a lot of trouble. It's going to be the same problems we had last summer. It's going to be, I mean, very much. The only difference is some of these aren't going to have much contract left, so their value is going to have gone down. So I think we'll be more willing to sell for cheaper on some of those, you know? But yeah, I saw the list and I was sitting there thinking, in theory, that all works. In theory.
Yeah.
You know, but it's not, you're right, it's not like Football Manager, it's not like FIFA.
Did you also like that I wouldn't go through the 20 players and then I proceeded to go through the 20 players? Pictures there, didn't I? Sorry, Max, go on.
They didn't turn away, though.
Completed the full analysis, but no, I just like refer back to one of the first things that Marcel Brands said when he came in as director of football. He said, you know, we've got 38 players and none of them are getting any younger. Yeah. So, like, my response to seeing Everton's squad overhaul, it's not, oh, brilliant, I'm not surprised. Like, you know, we've still got a hell of a lot of dead wood to shift. Like, Terry's just literally rattled them all off, but in terms of the wage structure, you know, it's completely blown out of proportion since, you know, over the last couple of years under the past hierarchies that have been in charge. But at the moment, under Marco Silva right now, I feel like this is the first time since that core squad of Barkley, Stones, Lukaku, Delafeu, since they disbanded, I think now for the first time we've got our 11 on paper. Obviously, and we, you know, Kurt Zouma and Andre Gomez pending, but we've got our 11 players now, and we tend to lean on the same, say, three substitutions: Theo Walcott, Tom Davies, or and possibly Tosin. But even Tosin was another one that was listed at the what was he listed as? 20 million. The club believers' valuation to be, which for me, I don't feel like we're going to get someone coming in and offering 20 million for Cenk Tosin. So if we are wanting to sell him, play him personally, I feel like I know that carrot's still dangling in terms of the seventh place, but obviously it is out of our hands. I know that the development of Calvert-Lewin is a product of his game time, like, because he's been seeing so much game time that, you know, we've been seeing the rewards of that. However, as you said about it earlier, Jerry, you know, we have got to start putting a few of these players in the shop window, albeit a lot of them are out on loan. But, you know, you've got to sell them. It's interesting because Mo Besic is an interesting one, because I'd actually take Mo Besic on, you know, particularly with Idrissa Gueye. That kind of still being up in the air whether or not he's going to get that PSG move. And to see a like-for-like replacement for Idrissa Gueye of the same calibre, I don't think that's going to be a problem that we can fix in one summer. So I'd rather have Mo Besic there as that kind of harrying defensive midfielder with legs. But I don't know. I suppose that's subjective and down to your personal opinion of how you'd utilise the current squad. But I suppose in terms of the pecking order and the hierarchy of those 20 players that we're looking to shift, I think there are a few that could possibly, like I said earlier, Vlasic, and you said on your career, you know, there are still a few that could, you know, lend a hand in being part of the squad.
Yeah, Tosin's a weird situation because he's come out and said, I'm really happy at Everton. All right? Now, let's dissect this a bit. All right. Is he saying, I'm really happy at Everton not playing? I don't think that's the case. I think he's saying, I'm really happy getting paid what I'm getting paid by Everton. That's what I think he's really saying. I think he actually requested to go out on loan in January, I believe. He told them, he said, I'm willing to go out and get stronger and play on loan somewhere. I think he said, I'm cool with that. And Silva was like, I want to keep you here because we need a little bit more attacking, you know, strength. But Tosin's a stranger. I think he'll go out on loan. I don't even know if we're going to sell him because the idea of getting 20 for a player that didn't even play that much this season. But then again, the market's just nuts these days, crazy. What you get for players.
Pretty interesting that the most, you know, the most common point that a certain Sam Allardyce seems to bring up is that we need, you know, this centre forward. I think people just forgetting that he was the man at the helm of the £27 million move of Cenk Tosun. I mean, I know it may not have necessarily been his target, but he was the man in the hot seat at the time of that transfer. So,
yeah, Terry's a big fan when we drop Sam Allardyce quotes about the current regime. He is.
Well, I mean, if we were to sell 19 players and one of the you know, the surplus to requirement players were to stay, I'd pick Tosun. I think if you've got 20 players, as is the plan, you can't just have two strikers all season. You're Calvert-Lewin and a new player. You need a third striker. And I think Tosun brings something. I know he's not really suited to the way Silva wants to play. He's not very fast, but I think he's an excellent finisher. He is, you know, he does seem very happy at the club for whatever reason. I would subscribe to the same belief as you that it's probably the money. I think another Premier League team comes in for him and he happily goes. And I wouldn't certainly be knocking back any halfway decent bids for him. But you know what I mean? When the injuries pile up and you've got a lot of games and all that, it doesn't hurt to have another striker there who's experienced, and we might get 20 million for him. Like Liverpool got 19 million for Dominic Solanke. Now I know he's young and English, but he hasn't scored goals like Tosun has in the Premier League. Tosun's at least proved he can do it at this level, whereas Solanke really hasn't. He was just bought on potential, whereas Tosun, I think, good example of a club who would be well served coming in for him are Crystal Palace. Benteke doesn't really do it for them. Batshuayi might go back to Chelsea and get a loan elsewhere or whatever. I think a club like Palace, who play to the strengths of Tosun, who play, you know, with a strong forward, like a target man, that kind of thing, I think he'd be great there. Just, he's not a right fit for Everton in our perfect scenario, in our strongest team, but he's definitely got value, I think. Just depending on what his wages are like. If they're super high, then he's got to go. But if they're reasonable, he's very low on the sell list to me, even though he is on it.
To be fair to Tosun, I'm going to try to be fair to him here, all right? I haven't seen him play a lot with the squad performing the way they've been performing lately. You know what I mean? Ever since that, you know, that Goodison Derby, we've played better. As a whole, it's like something clicked in our system. So we haven't really gotten to see Tosun play and interact in that particular environment, to be fair to him. However, other times this season when he's had opportunities, he has had some wide open opportunities, and he has not shown the clinical finishing that Terry, I feel like you and I definitely feel like he's got that in his locker. I'm not sure, Max. The only reason I didn't mention you is because Terry just said it. I feel like I've always associated him as being clinical and not really having much pace compared to Calvert-Lewin. Calvert-Lewin is just a streak on the field. He's just flat line speed. And he's shown that he can hold the ball up really well, too. I'd love to see Tosun get more of an opportunity in the squad like that, having us playing like that. See if he's doing all the... Because he's a hardworking player. He is. Okay, that's... Nobody's really accused him of being lazy. It's just not right for the system. That's what we all think, I think, at this point. I'd like to see him given an opportunity, but not at a time when we're... you mentioned putting him in the shop window, Max. I'm sort of... I'm half and half on that because I want Calvert-Lewin to continue developing, you know. So I'm iffy on it. I do think we're not going to get much money for him if we don't play him, and I don't think people are going to pay more than 15 for him if he's not playing this season. It's hard, but Palace was one of those squads, Terry, who supposedly wanted him when we wanted him, when we bought him.
I think a loan.
That was like the other team.
A loan with an option to buy will probably be the only way he goes out the door. I don't think anyone's going to stop up that kind of money.
Good.
But a loan with a price at the end would probably suit not just Everton and the player, but the buying club. And I think, you know, depending where he goes, he's got a very good chance of earning himself a move. He is a good player. He's just not... he's just not an Everton player, not at this time. Like Calvert-Lewin is the prototype striker. Like if the only thing he's missing from his game, Calvert-Lewin, is being clinical, and I think that's what we're going to look for in another striker. Calvert-Lewin but scores more, and Tosin is just the, not that player. But he's one of the more difficult ones. I think a lot of the other players, like, who've just got zero future, they're all self-explanatory. Like Balassi, players like that, you know, they, even if they come back, they're never going to play. So they just they need. It's not all down to Marcel Brands. They need their agents to find the moves, and then hopefully, if it all comes off the way we want it, we'll be a lot more lean and healthy as a club to go forward, because we are carrying around a lot of baggage, a lot of dead wood, and they're taking massive amounts of money out the wage bill, which is probably stopping us bringing in players until they're gone. Because even the likes of Garbutt and that are apparently on like 30 grand a week, which adds up if you have set, you know, like two teams worth of players who aren't contributing. How much better off will we be when we can say it happens, say the magic wand gets waved and we do all this? The summer after, we could go turn around and buy a proper game-changing top player, because we're free enough to do that. We've got the financial capability. Can't do that this summer. It's too many players dragging us down.
Yeah. I think it is going to be a long haul. Yeah. I think we just brought in too many players that aren't contributing in terms of key performance indicators, and they just haven't lived up to the hype. And to be fair, as it was mentioned in the article, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how we lean on the under-23s league winning side. But being said, you know, what better squad to lean on than a squad that just won the league?
Yeah, and I don't know, the more I think about some of these older players who we made mistakes by maybe giving contract re-ups, you know, it's just probably not the smartest moves. Just some mistakes were made. But I love the idea, thinking about it, you know, we've talked about how, you know, Bron's previous club, where they're at right now. And it just, you salivate when you think about having this stable of young players coming through and everybody's on the same system. And it's just, it's exciting. It is. It is, but I do think long haul is it's a patient game. Yeah, it's going to have to be. So, gents, anything else on this potential summer? Okay, cool. Well, then that's it for the summer overhaul segment. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it's time for If You Know Your History, the Everton-based quiz segment that pits Terry against Max in a cage match of Toffee's wit and might. I just don't mess that up anymore. Until I do. So, guys, it's a starting 11 segment, and if you have been living under a rock for a while and you don't understand how this works, here's how it works. I tell these guys a match from the past, a classic match that Everton has featured in which Everton has featured. Got to make sure I'm not ending with a preposition there. And they try to tell me who started and maybe who was subbed in. And they go back and forth, and and if for some reason somebody says an incorrect name really early, as happens sometimes, no one can see Terry's eyes darting back and forth right now, but sure, I can hear them. No, then it'll be over. So I'll be flipping the quote unquote coin here in a minute just to see who gets it. Who goes first and whatnot. But yeah, we go back and forth, and the reward, the prize, the cup is picking a tune to close out, to which we close out the show. Eh? See? Let's flip. Dave was on here earlier this week, and he mocked my flipping utensil. It's a GoPro stand. It's not the worst thing ever, Dave. Okay, it's bad. He's right. All right, so, Terry, you call. You weren't here the other day. Ready? Call in the air, heads or tails?
Heads.
It is heads. Terry, first or second, my friend?
Second, please.
Second, please. Okay. So.
It's going to be a... Because usually the start of the 11 ones aren't that hard, so I'm curious to what he's got lined up here.
I'm excited, I'll just say.
I'm anxious.
All right, so Intense quiz music, possibly something from a game show. Surprise me, dazzle me, if you will. There it is. Okay, pretty wonderful. No idea what it is. All right, so, gentlemen, the 20th of May, 1995. Everton 1, Manchester United 0. FA Cup final.
Oh.
Okay. I was in high school. So that should tell you already, these gray hairs didn't even exist. It was a really long time ago. All right? It was a time when no one called me old. That's really long ago. So, Max.
Mm-hmm.
You may begin.
Paul Rideout.
Paul Rideout, yes, he started. Already you've done better than I expected. So it's... no, I kid.
Amakachi.
Amakachi did not start, but he was subbed in. So, I count it.
Neville Southall.
Ah, yes. He did start.
Duncan Ferguson.
Duncan Ferguson. Terry, you're calling all the subs, man. He subbed in as well.
You accepted it, though, so you'll have to do it again.
I count it. I do. These are all good answers.
Dave Watson. I assume he'd be captain too. Yeah,
he was captain. You're right. Yeah. I even wrote that down because I wanted to be able to drop that knowledge. Thanks for spoiling that one, Max. Only thing I knew, that little C. That's all I got. All right.
I weren't even born. Give me some credit.
Hey, your mind is like a freaking vice, man. You have all this stuff memorized. This is not surprising, in all honesty. Terry, what do you got?
We've had Southall, we've had Watson. I don't know.
Hey, John, during this waiting time, do you want to put like some waiting room music just to kind of carry us through the silence? Because Terry's always great at pointing out that this is great radio, I think.
Anders Limpar.
Anders Limpar. Yes, he did. Max, the fact that you're not even alive back then totally puts things in perspective. It just clicked. I was like, holy hell, he's so young. What the hell?
I've obviously seen the game plenty of times.
Yeah, DVDs and stuff like that.
I need to get some of those DVDs, man. I need to watch some of those.
The 1995 Cup Winners' Cup game I can just do off the top of my head, but the 95's a little bit more difficult.
Because I met him after the Cardiff game, and I assume he'd be up front with Rideout, Graham Stewart.
Graham Stewart, yes! Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Now we're getting a bit.
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought of one, though, while you were talking. I was hoping you wouldn't get it, because I just thought it was a good one. The man behind Everton's under-23 title in David Unsworth.
I knew as soon as you said I thought of a good one, I was like, he's going to say Unsworth right now. I knew it. Yeah, he started, dude. He did. All right. Maximus, what do you have?
Another one, because I met him a few years ago on the train home from West Ham, and it sticks in my mind. Barry Horn.
Barry Horn, yes.
Who he needs started. Cantona?
Max, if you get all of these because you're like, oh yeah, I met him. Of them.
That's the way I'm trying to utilize my memory.
Yeah,
you know,
it's smart to do it that way, actually.
Alright.
Andy Hinchcliffe. He started. Guys, you're doing quite well. Quite well.
I really hope Max gets one wrong now because I am tapped.
Guys, oh no, that'd be a bit after. Oh, No, Gary Ablett. I was going to say Gary Speed, but I'll go for Gary Ablett.
See, I'm glad you said that before I did, because I was like, Ablett. So I'm glad you actually, yeah, that's he started.
Got it, yes.
Guys, this is a pretty solid performance, I'm just going to say. This is well done, guys.
I'm trying to go through the team. We haven't said the right back, and I don't know who it was. Let me think. Was it Matt Jackson?
Jackson. Jesus, guys. Yes. Yes. Okay, John, if you're editing this, because this is taking so long, perhaps some of the score from Lord of the Rings would be appropriate here. Because this is going into Mordor. This is a lot. This is so long. You guys are doing very well. All right. You have one more starter left.
John Edward.
No.
Okay. I'll just take it. I went alive. I'll take it. I've got no shame in taking defeat there. I came up with a few.
Hold on. Terry, you got the quiz. You got it right. You won the flip, right? So you were second, correct? Terry still has to get one correct. You have not lost here yet, Max. So don't concede defeat yet. All right? Let's see if Terry can somehow pull this one out.
So we've had Southall, we've had Watson, we've had Unsworth, we've had Rideout, we've had Amakachi, we've had Ferguson, we've had Hinchcliffe, Matt Jackson, Joe Parkinson.
And that did it. Terry just did it. Guys, this was superbly played, gentlemen. I mean, maybe all normal Evertonians can rattle this off, but I think this is well done. All right. So, we have finally thrown the ring into the fire, fires of Mount Doom, and Gollum just went and spoiler! We've at the end. Terry has managed to come out on top of this one, but Max, wise beyond his years, holy hell. Very, very well done, Max. Good stuff. You should take it. You should take that one, all right? Terry, your reward. You can take the spoils now. What is your track? Are you going to pick up your Spotify now and consult?
Yes, I am. I had one in mind, but I think I've done it before. Have I done Shoot to Thrill?
Yes.
I think I have. Right, okay. Oh, man, I thought I was on for another early exit then, because at the beginning, I only had Ferguson and Amakachi in my mind. I was like, oh, my God, I can't. And then I just sort of tried to think of a back of a DVD case that I've got of the 1985 final. I got given it for what, Christmas. So this is the second long pause that I'm going to cause in the podcast. Sorry, Mr. Editor.
This is one of those we can just cut out. That's not a big deal.
Don't worry about it. I can come up with a funny story in the middle of the dead silence, if you'd like.
Go ahead.
Feel free. Right.
So when we played Man United at Wembley a few years back, you know, the semi-final, when was it, 2016?
Uh-huh. I'm not sure about the year, but I remember the game exactly.
Yeah. That fella up front missed the penalty. Look at what situation he's in now, which is funny, isn't it? But me family, so like, I don't know if you saw the pictures that I put up on Twitter before the United game, but it was my nan's birthday.
Yes, I thought those were amazing. Yes.
Yeah. So like, basically, she's been going to games since she was 10. She's 80 now. So like, that's a long time of suffering for those who, bloody hell, I couldn't imagine to support Everton for that long. But so we all went down to Wembley, and it was like, what, 5-6 o'clock start in the morning on this bus. We all, you know, obviously the drinks start early, so a few of us are a bit tipsy. And I guess, you know, the way they run like fan zones.
Yeah.
It's like entertainment for the fans and stuff. Obviously, I think someone on the stage has spotted me nan and got me nan up and just asked her opinion of like, oh, how long have you been following Everton, this, that, and the other. And then he went, just to finish, who do you think is going to score the winner for Everton today then? She went, Daniel Amakachi. It's like, that's 1995. How many did he score in the semi-final against the Spurs, Teddy?
Was it two? To be honest, I don't know this from remembering watching it. I remember I've got a DVD of it, so I'm not as up on anything. Honestly, it's embarrassing to admit, but anything pre-Moyes, I'm really rusty on and ropey, but Moyes onwards, I'm pretty okay with. Don't know.
But yeah, Daniel Amakachi was the catalyst for the 1995 FA Cup semi-final. And Milan thinks he was going to score the winner for us in the 2006 semi-final.
Maybe he would have.
I assume she meant Romelu Lukaku, which might have been the case if he'd converted that frigging penalty, but
yeah,
you know, here we are today.
Oh, God. He'd have probably had better work rate than Lukaku.
I know.
I didn't use that time wisely that you just handed me there, Max.
You're listening. You're listening to the dude's story.
Were you listening to the dude's story?
so you have no frame of reference here. like a child that wanders into the middle of a movie.
There's my choice in song, Hotel California by the Eagles.
I just hate the fucking Eagles, man.
You just made it very easy for me, Jamie.
Oh, man. You can't never leave. All right, so Terry picks the Eagles, much to my chagrin, but I know why, which makes me grin, actually. It's a good thing. So he picks Hotel California by the Eagles. So as we wrap up the show, it is time to end the pod. Thanks for listening to the big show. If you have not subscribed to the Toffee Blues podcast, we'd really appreciate it if you would. Also, if you're like, man, these guys' voices, I wonder what their faces look like, you should just watch our YouTube channel, because we're there, and you can get those questions answered, like, immediately, like, really fast. So check that out there. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We'd appreciate that. Check out Terry on the Liverpool Echo Fan Jury. Look at his Twitter. He'll tell you when, where he's going to be appearing there. And, you know, he's got one of his many public appearances where he'll be, you know, giving hugs, signing autographs, you know, that sort of thing. Also, keep an eye out for Max being out and about town, especially after a big Everton win. Who knows? You know, who knows? You know, he's totally fine if you buy him a pint and a firm handshake. That's right. Keep an eye out for his analysis on the Toffee Blues website. He does a lot of stuff there, but look at his Twitter. He'll tell you when and where. He'll be dropping knowledge. And also follow the Toffee Blues on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. That's all I've got. I got nothing else. Terry, I hope in-game does not get spoiled for you. Good luck on that.
Oh, thanks. I might need it.
Yeah, you will. You will need it. Because I almost told you, like, a review that I read about, and I'm like, no, I can't tell you any, like, if I've heard it's good or bad, or if I've heard shit, yeah, I got nothing. So, yes. Yeah, Terry just zipped up his... what do you call that in England? Jumper? Is that what y'all call that?
Yeah, half zip, basically. Jump would be appropriate for like a sweater, like sort of smart sweater. It wouldn't be this. This would be, fleece, I suppose. But it's not fleece. It's like sport material.
Yeah, it's just a shirt. I'm like, it's his pullover shirt. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, he just zipped it up because he doesn't want any spoilers. No spoilers. Max, good to talk to you, man. Thanks so much, bud.
As always, thanks very much.
He can pull that off. I can't say peace out. I'm too old. I'm cool. But I guess that's it, everybody. Let's get 3 points this weekend. It'd be wonderful for us to continue bring this home form in the away matches. So let's do that. All right? For the three gentlemen in the Toffee Blues, this is Jerry signing off. Much love to you, and yeah. Bye-bye.
drink champagne on ice. And she said, we are all just prisoners here of our own device. And in the master's chambers, they gathered for the feast. They stab it with their steely knives, but they just